for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, May the 27th, 2007. Tom Stone is the speaker of this service, teaching on examples.
This has been a wonderful morning, a wonderful day to praise the Lord, for He is Lord of Lords, and to come and present ourselves before the Lord for His service. Amen. Tom's going to come and minister the word this morning and finish us off. I'll tell you, he's good at it too.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I want to thank God that we could be here today. I thank God for what this place means to me. Because one day I was lost and undone, bleeding and dying, and I came here and they found my head in a bucket back there and got rid of a lot of junk and set me on the road to freedom. But you know, the deliverance you've got today, you got a choice to keep it or choose to throw it away. But the Lord says, go and sin no more. So, I've got a message, but I want to obey the Lord first. You know, and I thank God for him because he's going to do something special for you folks. Not through me. I'm talking about he's going to do things for you. Because I can't go where you're going to go. But you can go. And God set you on a route and a path right now to snatch people out of the fire. Because he says, freely we receive, now freely give. As you see people falling in the fire, and you know what God's saying to you, you reach out and you love them. Love them not for who they are, but who God intends them to be. There's a difference. And if you don't have love in your heart, you could preach all the gospel you want to preach, and it will be null in effect because it's the Spirit of the living God that's going to bring people alive. Hear me today, because God is wanting to speak to some people today. He's done and spoke mightily. You know, I was sitting over there with my knees knocking and saying, how can you come and present God now? Because he's moved mightily this morning in this service. And believe me, this flesh right here don't want to stand in the way of what the Holy Spirit's doing. So I'm going to pray and invite the Holy Spirit in this place. I thank you, most gracious Heavenly Father, for thy Spirit is stronger. Thy Spirit is wiser. Thy Spirit is more gentle. Thy Spirit is more loving than any love that we've ever received before. Lord, I ask you and I invoke you to come, Lord God, and be with us in this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. I got to do something first. Son, I was sitting behind you. When things started out, there was a great big mantle over your head. It was a long ways away. But as you reached up, it started falling. You're going to go places, you're going to have some hard times. But the thing about it is, the times you're going to spend with God is going to be far greater than the rough times. Because you already feel that you don't fit in the world. You've been places and you just don't feel right. Because God has His hand on you. And He's wanting that mantle to come down. And greater ye will do than the former. You understand what I'm saying? So stand fast in God. Okay? Hallelujah. Sis, you're lonely. You've been lonely. You're seeking God. You're thirsty. You've been dry. God's giving you a drink this morning. And what you drink of will be life to you in the future. You remember this day. Never look away from it. Because you too have walked way over here and God's wanting to pull you center. He's wanting to bring you in to snatch people out of the fire. He's got a ministry for you. The book. Read it. Eat it. Ingest it. And it'll be salvation for you. Thank you, Lord. You know, God wants to walk with you in the cool of the day. Do you believe that? He wants to calm the storm, the hurricane. He wants to calm the hurricane that just buzzes around your head. I thank you and I praise you for that healing, God, that's going to come to His mind, will, and emotions. We thank you and praise you and glorify Him. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You spoke with authority. But God's going to put true life in your words. He's going to pull you up out of that spot of loneliness and wondering. And He's going to bring you in. You're already in, but He's going to bring you into the inner circle. Do you understand what I'm saying? Even when He walked this earth, He had the inner circle. He pulled three away and talked to them. He's going to talk to you. God is real. God is real. Son, He's calling you also. But there's some things God's wanting you to lay down. And when you start laying them down, you're going to start seeing God. And it will be salvation. It will be life to you. Because there have been many times that Satan's tried to kill you. But there's a calling on your life. And there's been some people praying for you that you don't even know about. And God's saying, come up, son. Come unto me. And you'll see your life turn around. And things that you wanted will come to you. You know, God is so real. God is so tangible. He wants to reach out and touch you right now. Oh, the things you've done, we're going to see greater. And I don't understand it all, but we're going to see greater. Because His Word says, the things I do, greater things ye shall do. And all those things were done for an example. All of them were done for an example. To bring life to the church. And thank God for guardian angels. You know exactly what you said to me, and I know what exactly what you said, and I know exactly what God's done for me. Because He's done the same thing for me. You'd be driving down the road and fall asleep, and He continues your path. God's wanting to change us today from what we were to what we should be. As an example, He came to set the example, to set the captives free. There's so many people today are caught in fear, and we've ministered on fear and ministered on fear and ministered on fear. But God wants to love you in spite of that fear. Because He sent His only begotten Son. Can you send your only Son? I doubt I could. Or anybody in this room. Oh, I'd like to pinch your heads off, but I don't want to send them nowhere. Not to die. Not to die. But He chose that. He chose that. And He knew you before He built the foundation of this earth. He knew you when He came here and He crawled up on that cross and died. Because He crawled up on it. He didn't have... They couldn't took Him there. They couldn't have... forced Him there. But He chose to. He chose to. He chose to. Guess what? That means you're chosen. He meant to choose you. Sometimes you think you're so small. You think you're insignificant sometimes. And you float here and you float there. Flew. But God's wanting to show you some more things. Sometimes you say, is this real? But guess what? Sometimes it isn't. But when God is there, you know it. God's got your numbers. Get our number. And He calls you. He calls you. And He knows you. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Whew. God is so good. God wants to change our ways. Because our ways are stinking to Him. But guess what? When we come to Him and He starts changing us, He drops a mother's love into her. And sometimes you see this and you see that in your children, but you still love them. Oh, and they step on your feet and then they step on your heart, but you still love them. God wants that love to pour into you that you could pour out to others. And children are for a reason. They're your pruning shears. Because they make you dig deep. You get a hold of God, please save them. Change them, Lord. But some strange reason, we've got to get cleaned up before they can get cleaned up. We've got to start breaking the generational curses before they can come to the fullness. Because, see, you're an example. What a child sees their parents do, they do. It's not what they say. What they see their parents do. Example. This is my lesson. I'm getting to it. I'm going to read some verses here in a minute. But we need to be an example of Jesus Christ incarnated in us. You've been cut and bruised. God says, I heal that broken heart today. And the people that come against you, I see it. I feel it. He's going to rectify it. In Jesus' name. God loves you. He sees you. Who was saying, you can't fly over the mountain to get away from him. You can't fly over that mountain to get underneath. You can't get in a submarine to go under the sea to hide from him. No, there he'd be also. Even though you make your bed where? In Sheol, hell, there he will be also. Because the darkness is his light, and the light is him. And he is the light, and there is no darkness. There is no lies. There are no nothing. Nothing he could do against you. If Jesus is abiding in you, because you have the choice to receive rejection or an offense or to reject it. People, you have the power and the authority to take the authority over your life today to reject the spirit of offense. Ministers don't. If we could set ourselves free, do it to your brothers, do it to your sisters, to the neighbor, to the person on the street, to the person in the store, the person in the bank, the person at the doctor's office. Doctors don't like us. We go in there and we think we got a splinter in our eye, but actually when we sit down and we start praying with other people, they get up and leave because I'm not sick no more. The doctor, if he knew that, he'd press charges against you. But that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. You walked here and you walked there. You've been hurt. You've been bruised. But then, with all that hurting and bruising, then you turned it inwardly. You rejected yourself. The Lord says, reject yourself no more. Because you have been chosen. You're going to see something about your cholesterol come down. You're going to see the diabetes test come down. You hear me? Learn to love yourself. God is real. You don't think He don't know you? You know how well He knows you? Everybody just look at their fingerprints. Guess who put them there? God. Does anybody else have those fingerprints? He's marked you already. God is good. God is good. He wants to walk with us in the cool of the day. He's seen where you are, Mom. He's heard your prayers. Things are going to change. Things are going to change. Especially with that wayward one. Bless this couple. Bless them with all words of knowledge. Bless them with the words of life. Lord, give unto them the desires of their heart, Father. The words of life. Great things you've seen already, but greater things you're going to do. Because the Father says it, not this man. The Father says. God is good. God loves you. And He wants us to be examples. Examples. Are we a New Testament church? I want to get your Bibles from there. Let me find it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me find it right quick. Verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. We're supposed to be an example. God's wanting a church to become an example. He says, now all these things has happened unto them for an example. And they are written for an abomination unto the end of the world are come. That means us. That means to stir us up. Wherefore let us that we thinketh that he standeth take heed lest he fall. In other words, when we get these words, let's don't get pride in our heart, but let's take them and let them bury. Let them be buried. A lot of times when the Lord speaks to you in dreams and visions, sometimes they have to die to where the pride won't take over first. See, because the zeal can go before the ministry. I was caught there. When I first come in, this man, black man came and grabbed me up and then grabbed Diane and he walked us up and down and he was talking to us and ministering to us and he said, you're going to become a house of prayer. I said, house of prayer? Wow. You know, my mind ran. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I'm excited. I was going to become a house of prayer. I came home and I opened up my house to have a prayer meeting. Nobody showed up. I even went and got them off the streets and fed them, tried to pray for them. They refused. But see, that wasn't the timing. The timing. God says, I've got a time for you. And when the time comes, guess what? Boom, boom, boom. It's going to happen no matter what happens. I wanted to be a pastor a long time ago, but God just kept sitting me down. He said, because I had so much zeal, my mouth went before wisdom. I tried beating doors down, and doors would not open. But it's the timing of God. So, guess what? A lot of times you get a word from the Lord, it has to almost go out of your mind before it can be brought back and it can be brought to life. And God wants to be, He is the example. Jesus was the example. He listened to the Father, but see, my ears were dull of hearing. I knew the word, I thought, but I didn't listen to the Father. The key is there. The words are there. The words are there, and you can read them, and you can understand them. They don't mean nothing if the Father don't tell you something. But yet, the words are there, and they will. They will manifest themselves, even in the heathen, if they do them. If they follow the feast, they fast and pray. I don't know to who, but if they fast and meditate, their body's going to be healthy. Because God said so. The unleavened bread. If you get the 11 out of your system, the yeast out of your system, 3 to 4 times a year you don't have no yeast, your body heals quicker. It's God's Word. The Jews do this, but they don't believe in Jesus Christ. But yet they live a long life, a healthy life, and a wealthy life. You ever seen a broke Jew? So God's Word, guess what, will work. But yet, they don't have Jesus. They don't have that Holy Spirit. And guess what? You know, I told you when I came and found out that I needed help and got to prayer and I started here and we've... How many people you've bounced around in churches trying to find a good church? Okay. You know, and every church I went to, we started in Genesis. Huh? You ever feel that? Guess what? This place was no less the same. We started in Genesis. And we finally looked at one another and we said, I think we need this. And we agreed with one another. And then we started finding out the ways of God. There's a difference. Oh, there's a difference if you know the ways of God. How do you think you find out the ways of God? You listen. You read. Where? I suggest you start in the five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch. You want to know God? Read them. You don't want to think how He thinks? You want to know what makes Him love you? You want to know what makes Him judge you? Read it. Read it. You're going to find out who God really is, what He says, and what He will do. He says, I am the God that healeth thee. But yet, we got to turn and sin no more. The law is still there. You throw a ball up, will it stay up? Will it come down? The law is still there. You go slap your neighbor, will he take you to court of law? Maybe. It will hurt your pocketbook because there will be fines levied against you. God is real. And sometimes we bawl and scowl and say, God, why did this happen? Guess what? You better change your attitude because you're blaming Him for letting it happen to you. And it might be Him spanking your rear, saying, Tom, change. And he's got his hand on that fanny, you know, just whooping the forehead of it. But the sad thing about it is, sometimes it might not be here, this flesh. It may be your back. If you get mad at your spouse, you'll hurt across here. If you get mad at the middle of your back, it's finances. And if you just feel unloved, you get fibromyalgia. You hurt across your shoulders. God knows you. And He's going to touch you. Satan's not doing it because of disobedience in us. God knows you. Thank God for the hair on my head because He's got them numbered. What few I've got left? And some of us are in more jeopardy than others. Yeah. And you know what? I used to have a temper that wouldn't quit. But I started realizing as I came to people with a like spirit, they had a bald spot too. Temper. Killing the hair follicles. You get so hot that your blood pressure rises. Guess what? You want to lose your hair? Stop. Just get mad. God got humor. And once we start seeing it and start getting redeemed from it, then we can laugh. It's not so funny during the process. All those things in the first five books of the Bible are God's ways. The commandments. Let me see if I can find this sheet. But we think, well, you know, the commandments and the law is all done over with. I did have some notes, really. I did. I thought I did, anyway. But guess what? All the Ten Commandments are in the New Testament. Thank you, Brother Clement. You're going to get some credit. Thank you. And we were listening. It says, Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Matthew 4:10. John 4:22, same thing. Thou shalt not make unto thee no graven images. 1 Corinthians 10:4. All New Testament. And you say, well, the law was done away with. No. The commandments, the statutes, the judgments is still there. The ordinance is done away with. It's supposed to be done away with. Now the ordinance was, I'm going to come back to this. The ordinance was to tell you how to kill the sacrifice and what you were supposed to offer up. But guess what? Humanity has a tendency to still sacrifice. You get angry and mad and full of gall. What do you think you're going to sacrifice? Gallbladder. Ding, 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 ding. The Lord says, I'm going to try the reins of your heart. Anybody ever had any kidney infections? He's trying the reins in your heart. Disobedience. that's in there too. That's all over. Sugar diabetes. See, if we go against God and we have this anger problem and we turn it inward, self-rejection, self-hatred, and so on and so forth, that opens the doors to all kinds of diseases to come in. Just by turning the love back inwardly, loving yourself, all kinds of diseases are healed. And forgiveness and repentance and go and sin no more. That's got to be added in there too. So God knows you. Because I haven't talked to a lot of you. I've talked to one man back there and talked to that lady, but I haven't talked to nobody else. But those words are true. Those words are going to be life to you. Those words are going to manifest before your eyes. Because they are life. And we need life today in the church because we got too many dead churches today. The body needs to come alive. We need a body ministry. And it's the Word. If you know the Ten Commandments, if you know Leviticus chapter 18, if you know Deuteronomy chapter 28, all the blessings, and guess what the last half of it is, and they're about four times as long as the front half, and the cursings. You walk in to those diseases. You walk in to those corrections of God. It don't mean you're going to be lost, but you're going to get out of here quicker. And we preached that we've got 120 years, right, Brother Glenn? If you live under the total blessings of God. And he says you got 70. And if you cut off early, then that means something else has entered in that you don't want. I'm going to get down to nitty gritty. A lot of times all the speculations and things of that nature, sometimes we got to cut the chase and get to the truth. Because God loves you. You may not think so, but He loves you. And all we got to do is say, "Yes, Lord, I've done that. God, forgive me." Or, "Ma'am, I've offended you. Would you forgive me for the offense?" I'm just using that as an example. I haven't even talked to you. Yeah. Excuse me, Lord. Forgive me. One day, I built houses for a living. Oh, but I would love to preach every night of the week. I would love to minister constantly. And sometimes I do on a job, but sometimes you just got to shut your mouth and go to work or else you're not going to make any money. You got to get a job done. Because if you minister or open your mouth too much on a job, you're stealing your employer's time and you're not getting anything done. So there's a time for everything. So one day I told this man to go in and hang a door. I said, "The light switch is over here. Put the hinges over here." That means when you go through the door, all you have to do is either reach around or reach up and touch the light. And you don't have to walk around the door. Well, so he puts the hinges against the light switch. And I come in there, I didn't say anything to him, but my nostrils flared because I got angry. Oh, I got angry. I wanted to... The Lord said, "You better keep your mouth shut." Before I walked across the room, I liked it. Fell on the floor and my back hurt. I stepped down three concrete blocks to get on the yard, and the Lord said, "Now, go back in there and apologize to him." I sat there and argued with God. He said, "I told that man. I told him." He said, "Go back in there and apologize to him." The guy didn't even know I walked in the room. He was busy, and the radio was going. He didn't even hear me. I walked up to him. I said, "Will you forgive me for getting mad?" And he said, "Yeah." Boom, my back was healed just like that. By obedience, things are an example. They were all written there for example. You saw the Holy Spirit work this morning, that's for an example. You're going to see it tonight, it's for an example. That God is changing us. He never changes. I want to get that straight because I've heard it the other way. God is a changing God. Yes, He's changing us, but He does not change. I want to get that down pat. God is a God that does not lie. He does not change. And He's real forever. And you compromise Him. You try and test Him. Guess what? He's got the valve that can turn up the heat. And He will baptize you with fire. How many likes blisters on their toes? How many like blisters on their backside? How many like blisters on their fingers when it says hot and you reach out and touch it anyway? Or do we see wet paint and we reach out and touch it to see if they're telling the truth? It's the truth. We better start recognizing the truth. And you want to know God's heart. You want to start realizing His ways. The Book of Wisdom, Proverbs. Get in it. Read it. At least one verse or two verses every day. Because God's wanting to do some things with us. He wants us to become the manifested sons of God. He don't want us to be a religious spirit. How many people in here have ever seen a religious spirit?
I think I got rid of one.
Yeah. I had to get a bunch dumped out of me back there. And it could be up here too. Or anywhere a true believer in God lays his hands on you and prays for you, something's going to happen. Because he's continually got a work going on. He's working something in you or out of you. I like the working in me, but sometimes that working out of me is kind of hard. But later in life, I like him working through me. Because I would rather bless people. I would rather people come up and become what they need to be in God. Because I may need your prayer someday. Because see, the thing about it is, it's none of us. He could take every one of us out and he's still here. And guess what? His agenda is going to move. And his agenda is going to be accomplished. Whether we are here or not. Because he is God. And too many people think he's died a long time ago. You know, during the dark ages, he went to sleep. He never woke up again. No, he got so mad at this earth, he decided, I ain't talking to you. Have you been a place called Lodabar? It was used in your message, Lodabar. Well, you know what that means? A place where there's no word from God. Have you been to Lodabar? Never heard from God. Not hearing his voice at all. But guess what? Even if you're found in Him and He's in you, and sometimes you still don't hear, and you just have to stand because He's wanting to manifest His Word in spite of me, you, or anybody else. Sometimes it's testing time. But yet this example is here to be exempt. Guess what? How many of you have gone to college or high school? All of you have gone to high school for sure. Hopefully, anyway. Everybody's took a test, right? You like tests? No. But guess what? When you start learning His ways, and you're the what? You're setting the curve in the class, sometimes you get exempt from the test. Good, huh? He's good. So, if we want to, let's set the curve where we can be exempt from the problem. All things was done for an example. Jesus took the same test and he passed. He was exempt. Oh yeah, he had to lay his body down. But he became exempt from hell on the way that we could go there. Because he first descended and he picked up the keys to hell and the grave and he brought them back and he gave them to us. Jesus is alive. How many believe He's alive today? Because I don't want you to go to sleep on me today. Because I want God to be real in your hearts. Because we've been preaching it, we've been teaching it, we've been praying, we've been snatching things out of you, and I want you to walk upright. And even though, you know, sometimes you say, oh, that prayer didn't work. And the Word says, little by little. Okay? Sometimes you come in there and you tell the deliverance work, I got this problem, you know. And God's got another agenda. And He goes after this over here before this will ever go away. See? All you need to do is say, God, I need some help. Change me. You say, well, I got a smoking problem. Not really the smoking problem. It's all the hurts and rejections and the abandonments that the person received through his life. And he's wanting to what? The baby wants to touch his lips with a pacifier. The baby wants to touch his lips with the bottle. The baby wants the mother to feed him. And when no feeding comes, guess what? You're going to feed yourself. Sometimes it's not very good stuff. And when it progresses, then you hang around the wrong people and they say, well, try this. Take this. Have a drink. Been there, done that. Don't work. Don't work. All you see is the bottom of a can or the bottle, and you got a big headache, and you feel twice as bad the next day. The problem has not gone nowhere. It has multiplied because you're broke the next day too. And you think, well, man, I'm having a good time. You don't even know where you've been, what you've done, who you hurt, who you have offended. Because guess what? I had this talk with God and Satan. Boy, one morning after one of the big ones, I rolled over and hid my head in my hands because I couldn't pick my head up. And all of a sudden, God sat down on my right shoulder and He said, Tom, nobody in that room except my wife and myself. It was a man's voice, and I turned around and nobody there. And I said, yes, God. And then Satan come down and he said, but you had a good time last night. You had a lot of friends around you. They was buying you beer. Where are they today? Where are they today? Still in the cesspool where they were at, but thank God He took the time to touch this hard head of mine. And when you hear His voice, believe me, you better listen. And you better turn. Sometimes it's going to be a struggle, sis. It'll be a struggle. Because there are things that you're involved in your family right now. It's, you know, and it's buzzing around your head. But He says, I know you because I called you today. And I'm going to be there in these problems. Hold my peace. That means be quiet. Don't defend yourself. Because see, He says, this peace I give you, the world can't give it to you. And the world can't take it away. But you can give away by, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. You give your whole mind away. Besides that, you give part of your who you are away. Because it works like this. You get mad. You go in there and you rage like a bull. 2 hours later, bang, 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 the headache starts. Oh, why did I do that? I got to go to bed. You gave your peace away. The next morning, you try to do your daily job and you're all stopped up. You gave your peace away. That means mentally, spiritually, physically. You open the doors for headaches. Headaches are witchcraft, bar none. Because a person, as they get mad and they get puffed up and they go to running that mouth, they go to cursing, they want to look bigger than what they are, and everybody shies back, you know. Oh, that guy, he's crazy. Because I've been cussed by the best of them. And I didn't lose my peace. Because I said, Father, help me right now, I need a comforter. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just floods over you. You just quiver. You know He's there. Why should you fear? See, what happens is the lying spirit comes in on you. The fear of man. And then fear of rejection. Fear of judgment. That's a lying spirit. It comes in on you and overwhelms you and consumes you. And then you start doing quirky things trying to get away from that and trying to, you know, outwit them or whatever in the flesh. God loves you. God loves you. He wants you to listen. He wants you to hear. He wants you to feel Him. He wants you to taste Him. He wants you to reach out and embrace Him. Oh, that embrace of God the Father. It's overwhelming. It's real. Because He cares about all you've gone through in your life. You can't go to God, do you know? And a lot of people try this. Do you know what they did to me? Do you know what? No, He was right there. He saw it. And then we try to Say, I didn't say that. I didn't do that. And he's got you on a tape player. One eyeball is one reel, one eyeball is the other reel. And he said, plug him in. Plug him in, plug him in. Yep, there you are. Whoop, I did say that. But see, the problem is you were caught then. We got the ability to say, yes, I done it right now. God, forgive me. And to come from out from underneath that poverty, that judgment, that correction. Even when I pray deliverance for some people, sometimes things don't move. You know, you have the power and authority, everything that walks, creeps, crawls, and the Lord said, take it and subdue it. And if it don't come off, is it in me or is it in them? If it's in you, say, excuse me, Lord, I repent of this. Jesus, you bring it to my mind. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, for the forgiveness. Now, in the name of Jesus, come out of it. And it will come out. But see, we got to learn some things. We got to learn that God sees you, He sees them, but He's in charge of it all. But He don't want us to walk in pride. He wants us to listen, tune our ears in to Him. And when we listen to Him, guess what? Success is in hand. And success, I'm not talking about always as finances. It's understanding the Word. Understanding Him. Being the minister you need to be. Being the mother you need to be. Being the father you need to be. Being the son or daughter you need to be. Attentive to the older people. To your older mothers and fathers. That if they're hurting and they can't, having trouble, get up and down, get them a lift chair. Or whatever. You understand what I'm saying? God wants to open our ears today. God's wanting to open our ears. And I thank God that we have a place like this right here. I don't go to any other camps. Been to one or two, but I've never seen the Spirit of God move like the freedom that we've seen this morning in praise and worship. You've been a lot of places. It's kind of dry out there, isn't it?
It is very dry.
And not because it's this place. It's because who He is. And we hunger and thirst after His righteousness. And we want His touch. We want His love. I want it. But I also want to love them. Because there's a lot of people that come through here are lost. They're dying, going to hell. It's to love the person and hate the sin. Lord, I pray that every one of us right here in this morning will receive discernment, Father. True discernment from You, Father. Lord, I speak a word of discernment, a word of wisdom, Father, over this congregation, God, that they can walk in upright and in majesty and in power and authority that You've set upon us. I thank You, Father, for this congregation. I bless them with a holy blessing this morning. I thank You, Father, for each one of them. I send them forth in the power and authority of Jesus Christ to do Your works, Father. But Lord, minister to their ears first. Lord, pull out the plugs. Pull out the wax. Pull out the hairs. Pull out the stupor, Father. And they can be heard, or You can be heard. We thank You, we praise You, we glorify You. Lord God, I just continue to come to You, Father. Over the next few minutes, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name. I had more on notes, but the Holy Spirit said something else. I want to be attentive to Him. So what we're going to do, we're going to bless the food, and the ones that want to be dismissed, and the ones that need further ministry, my wife and myself, and because she's my prayer partner, and we love to pray with each other. We're opening up for anybody that needs to come and have prayer. So, Lord, right now I bless the food for the nourishment of our bodies. Bless the cooks. Bless the hands that prepared it. Lord, bless the fellowship as we go forth from this room. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 1:15. Okay. All right. 1:15. Men and women.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.